PC Hill is not a doctor and does not claim to be a doctor or licensed in any type of medical field. Don't be an idiot and use anything heard on the show as medical advice. This information should be used for educational purposes only, and you should contact your doctor for any medical advice. Now get off me. Welcome to Kick It Naturally. I'm Kenna McEnroe, and I'm here with T.C. Hale, author.
Show 100.
Oh, gosh.
Spoiler.
Spoiler alert. It's show 100. Who cares what he does?
Yeah.
This is the show we've been talking about for, I don't know, a week or so now.
It's the 100th show.
It's the 100th show.
That's why we call it show 100.
Yeah, and today we're giving away a prize. But before I forget that, let's not forget Hottie Patati Will Schmidt, who made a funny pun a while ago.
He didn't even know it.
He didn't even know it, yeah. But he's pretty, so it doesn't matter.
He's usually pun-free. That's why I probably threw him off.
I do. I have a couple of clients who I train together who only talk in puns.
Oh, wow. That would be amazing.
It's so painful.
Yeah.
All right, so today is that day that we said if you put in one of our, you know, you gave us a good review or a bad review, any kind of review,
yeah.
We're going to put your name in a bowl, we're going to draw it at random, and somebody's going to get a $100 gift certificate to Amazon.
It's a gift card to Amazon.
Yeah.
But there's also lots of other prizes. We'll go through them one by one, and we're going to pick them out of a bowl, and we also put some entries in there that didn't leave a review. So if we pick one of those, we'll just throw it away.
Why'd we pick those?
Well, we just let them, because you can't require people to leave a review in order to enter a contest. So,
but I thought that was the choir requirements.
No, you can't legally do that.
Oh, so did you gotta put my name in the bowl?
Really?
No, your name is not in the bowl. Oh. Your name is in a different bowl.
In the toilet bowl.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to do. And then today's topic, holy mackerel.
Everybody's really passionate about this. Vaccines. I mean, people are going. Jim Carrey's been calling us all morning.
Oh, man.
Just right. Going off.
He wanted to be on the show, and we're like, Jim, we don't have
time. Sorry, we don't have time for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. This is a hot topic.
Right. Yeah. And the people, you know, when you talk about vaccines with somebody, it's almost like they immediately start cussing at you, no matter which side of the fence they're on.
It's true. It's like, don't talk about Jesus, politics, or vaccines.
Yeah, that's I try to stay away from all those. But today, we're going to cover all of those things.
Yes. Yeah.
Starting with Jesus.
I brought my Bible.
So let's do some prizes. So first, we'll go each by prize. So first, we're going to give away a copy of a tub of our protein powder.
Awesome. Nice.
What's it called, Will Schmidt?
Natural Selection Nutritionals Complete Protein.
And the thing about this protein is that it's amazing.
It is amazing.
That's all there is to it.
It's
so
true.
When you win it for free, it's double amazing.
Wow. Because then it's awesome and free.
Okay, so we're going to pick a name out of the bowl. I'm going to have Nina pick the first one. And then
I want to say more about what's so great about it, though. So
yeah.
It's made of possibly the healthiest form of protein for humans, at least, call it a grass-fed collagen and an organic whole egg. Plus all of our other favorite digestive supports like digestive enzymes, beet flow, there's selenium, there's a particular very powerful probiotic in there, there's an organic vitamin, a whole food source of vitamin C, all like the fundamental nutrition that we see is pretty much appropriate for any human.
And there's some deliciousness in there too.
Yeah, stevia flavor with natural berry extract, so the winner gets all that together in one convenient container.
So we picked
nice.
One. Nina picked one. I don't think we understand what's. Someone's about to win an actual prize. We give away a lot of.
Yeah.
We give away a lot of fake ponies and entertainment centers.
This is a real one.
Will's virginity.
Uh-huh.
Once. Oh.
All right. So who won? Who won the tub of protein?
Okay. Naturally awesome. Yeah. 5 stars by Nikki L. Nikki L, you won.
Where's she from?
She says, she doesn't say where she's
from. Oh, well, I guess we can't send it to her. I'll just eat it myself.
To you. We don't know how to get it to you, but you've got it coming. If somebody hears this and knows Nikki L, this show not only dives into natural health solutions, but the hosts have fun doing it. We really don't. We just ask.
It's just really a chore.
Sometimes we approach health in such a serious manner, but this show is both educational and entertaining thanks to Kenna. Oh, I just added that last one. Great job, Kenna. I mean, people, guys, girls.
All right, so when we call your name, go to kickitnaturally.com, click on contact us, and then say, hey, we got it. Because a lot of you that entered by the thing, we have all your info. But for those who may have left this review a while ago or something, we may not have it. Okay, so Next up.
And if you don't claim your prize in 30 days, I get it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so here comes another winner. And
this is a big one.
This one is going to win a copy of my book, Kick Menstrual Cramps in the Nuts, but it's signed by Jane Lynch, by actual Jane Lynch. It's
cool.
Kind of awesome.
Awesome. What if it's a guy?
He's going to be a big, he's going to make his girlfriend very happy.
The stutter. Okay, Fit Chick.
Oh, perfect.
Jam-packed with great new information. I've read every book by T.C. Hale. She's already read your book. She doesn't need it. I love his comedic delivery and the solid information that he provides. His shows are just as great, which is why I try to tune in every chance I get. I have incorporated so many things into my life from his books and shows. Really has made a difference in my life and the lives of people around me, since I'm constantly sharing what I've learned and continue to learn, and people hate me for it. Oh, I added that last part, too.
Good
but
job,
this
paycheck.
Sounds like it's like all about Tony.
Right, well,
mine and Will's.
Everything's all about Tony, except this next part is all about Will Wolfgang Hottie Patati Schmidt.
Okay.
Because the next winner is going to win a Skype session with Will, where he's going to magically fix every problem that you've had. He's going to redesign your hairstyle.
And he's
going
to look good doing it.
Uh-huh. And he's going to meet your parents.
Yeah,
okay.
No, what it really is, it's a free Skype exercise therapy session. So for years and years, I worked just as an exercise therapist doing, like, basically think of, like, a customized yoga routine to fix your personal postural imbalances. Just like how we always talk about a bio-individual approach to nutrition. This is, like, a bio-individual approach to exercise and alignment that I learned
cool.
how to do.
So the last prize was a book that was worth, you know, like, $12.
Yeah.
This one's worth a little bit more than $12.
Usually $2.50 is, like, what we used to charge. So whoever wins,
win it up.
A Skype session.
Gem
with that.
Of a prize.
And it goes to Dim Sum Kitty. Awesome.
That's a good screen name.
Sounds hot. Must listen to show Kick Your Fat Flab and Toxin! Exclamation point was there.
That's the heading.
That was the heading. Get your audio fit style shot in the mind to inspire your natural, healthful life. Who doesn't need periodic or ongoing inspiration to up-level their healthful, nutritious lifestyle? Listening to this show is like listening to your healthier, more knowledgeable BFF, that bestie who isn't interested in excuses but only research and results. I have the tighter bum to prove it. Seriously, I'm glad we have a Skype session coming up.
Right? I'm going to investigate the tighter bum.
So, yeah, Dim Sum Kitty, write in and claim your prize.
Awesome.
We can do a Skype session.
On the Skype session, I'm going to need you to derobe
so
I can see where
me,
the areas
just to see
need
the
help.
Alignment of the posture.
Okay, so we got one more. This is a $100 Amazon gift card.
Oh, jeez.
Real prizes.
Geez.
So I just picked it. Let's see what Kenneth says. Who is going to win it?
Who's going to win it? Just getting started, but excited. 5 stars by DFS4Him. DFS4Him, you won $100. I think this is the book I have been looking for. I've had digestive problems all my life. I look forward to seeing what happens. I'll let you know. Well, you're going to get $100 worth of whatever you like.
Yeah, you can let us know by sending us a $100 prize off of Amazon.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was kind of fun. So we'll keep this bowl. And if you guys, you know, anybody else who wants to leave us a review on iTunes, we'll add you to this bowl, too. And then periodically, we'll do some prizes. We'll just give
free
away
ponies.
Stuff.
Oh, yeah. Who wins to help us move?
Oh, so,
office?
Yeah, we're moving to a new studio, an office. And so now this next person wins coming to help us move.
Make him finish painting.
And then, you know, you can give them some free, knowledgeable, nutritious information.
City Slicker 2, you win helping us move.
Yeah, we'll find you.
I'm sorry.
Bring
City
truck.
Slicker 2, I'm going to put you back in the bowl so you don't really have to win that one. Okay, so now we have to do the show. So this is people winning stuff is fun, but now we got to cover this topic that everybody's been begging us to cover forever.
Yeah, and if you haven't liked us on Facebook yet, I don't know what the holdup is, but come on, that's so 2011.
Uh-huh.
Go on and go to Kick It in the Nuts. That's where we post all of our future show topics, and you guys can post questions you want us to cover in the show, and then we'll cover it. Or you can even like give us a topic for a show, because we're running out, frankly.
Yeah. So with vaccines, you know, one thing that first of all I want to say is that this is not something that we know as much about, like we do digestion or insomnia or hey, I'm an insane person. You know, we know a lot of stuff about that because not only have we researched a lot, but we have hands-on experience with people that are nuts or that can't sleep or that have digestive issues. And we get to actually see and especially hear from all of you guys, the book readers and everybody, and people who listen to the show who are in the support group, and they tell us, hey, I did this and this is what happened. And it's just years and years of us learning all that. And this is something new. But, you know, most of you guys know by now that Sarah and I are expecting a small person.
Woo! Oh, we should have drawn a name for who gets to babysit. Who gets to the first
babysitting one? Yeah. That'll be next week. Yeah. We'll give away a babysitting session for our kid that'll probably have the best poop ever.
Yeah. Oh, that poop's going to go down in the award-winning Hall of Fame poop.
For sure. But so this has been something that I have started to research a little bit just for because I need to know what's going on.
I think you're speaking a little out of turn here. I've been researching vaccines for the last 25 years.
Really?
In a laboratory, and I can answer any questions about vaccines that you have.
That's very interesting. I don't understand why you're saying these words.
I don't either. I thought it would be funny when I worked it out in my head and it didn't come out that way. But no, I don't know anything about vaccines except that people are very passionate about it.
Jim Carrey.
I know about Jim Carrey because I follow his tweets.
Right. But the thing that I think that is very important is that you have to understand that no matter which side, it's kind of like low carb or low calorie or ketogenic and all these things. No matter which topic you decide to start going after, you can go down this rabbit hole and find piles and piles of science that back up whatever you're looking at. And it seems like all of the science is legit. There's all these studies that prove this and they prove that in every direction. And it's the same thing with all the things that we talk about, whether it's a type of diet that you're doing, or whether it's you're for vaccines or against vaccines. So one thing that I really wanted to do for this show is I really wanted to try and go down both rabbit holes so that I could see the point of views from both people. And I know Will tried to do that a little bit too. It was harder than I thought. And I think by the time that I was done, I was a little less objective than I wanted to be by the end. But I guess we'll figure out where I landed towards by part two or so.
Yeah.
But I think that if you're having, you know, kids, or you're like, do I vaccinate, or what's the best thing to do?
I mean, isn't it a law? Like, don't you have to? It's different by state. Trouble? Okay.
Yeah, so we're one of the only loser states that says, how about you don't get to choose? And that's very recent. That's just kind of happened or in the process of even happening. And I think Mississippi and West Virginia are the other ones.
And soon, like in California, it might even soon be not even for just kids, like adults too.
Right. Kind of intense. Why not have no choice of anything that happens to you? Mm. So when you're trying to figure this stuff out, I think that there's just a few points that you really need to understand. And then we're going to get into some questions. And I think that what you're going to understand is that this really is something where you may not do it all the way one way or the other. You may figure out what's best for you. But man, it's so much information that it's a little bit debilitating, especially when there's so much money involved, with the quote unquote information that you can acquire when you're trying to make the choices of what you're going to do. It seems like most of the people that we're listening to are the people that get paid every time it happens, every time somebody gets vaccinated. So I'm like, well, how much do I want to listen to that? Because we know, you know, it's hard. It would be hard to tell us that an antacid or a PPI is the healthy thing to do when you have acid reflux. It would be hard to get us to believe that, and yet that is the mainstream belief. You know, that's what most people think. That's kind of what we're told, and that's just one example. I mean, think of what are other examples that we just know are wrong, but the mainstream looks at it differently.
Probably things like cholesterol-lowering meds would be one great thing. One. We might be like, is that really the best way to go about it? Does it actually fix anything? Estrogen therapy.
Great.
Maybe another one. Like, it's scary. And potentially thinking about like chemo and that kind of thing also.
You know. That's scary, but there's even more basic ones that are more obvious to us too, whether that be, you know, I mean, we see a lot of people that are treating depression in a way that is not optimal, and then they end up treating high blood pressure as well, or maybe they're treating high blood pressure and then they end up having to treat depression.
And then they shoot up a theater.
Yeah. So there's a, when I'm looking at, okay, who am I going to believe? Well, I already know for a fact in my head. I mean, I'm not saying that these are facts, but in my head, through experience from what I see working and not working with hundreds and even thousands of people that we hear from, that it's hard for me just to take anything for face value that's coming from the pharmaceutical or medical world. I know that I'm going to investigate that a lot further no matter what I do.
Yeah. And also, like, looking deeper at medical studies, like you just talked about, like who's funding this study, but also even when people have, they don't have ulterior motives, even still, like a lot of times their conclusions are, they're not correct, you know, and they're doing their best, but
studies themselves, like the test and the, like, are they like all the same type person? Are they, I mean, you have to look at every single bit of it. Maybe somebody was 20 years old and completely healthy while the other test subjects were frail and dying, or, you know what I mean?
Just the way the studies are set up. Yeah. And that, so it's not always malicious intent. It's not always like financial gain. Sometimes it's just like the way the study was set up, you know, and the conclusions that are speculated on, and then people that want to capitalize on those speculations can like blow out of proportion what the scientist was saying, and then so there's all sorts of confusing stuff, and it's not enough to just cite an article that says, oh hey, vaccines are good or bad or whatever it is. And personally, like, I think when we talk about are you pro or anti-vaccine, it's to me it's like that's almost a question, like, are you pro or anti diets?
Right.
Or because they're not all created equal. They're not all aimed at the same things. Some are much more effective than others. Some have way more harmful effects. Some have far less exposure risk, so it's not worth getting the vaccine. Like in America, there's like no polio. Like you don't need a polio vaccine. You're not going to catch it, right? So it's not like in my world or in my perspective anyway, it's not like a thing. It doesn't make sense to be just pro-vaccine or anti-vaccine. It's like you got to look at the individual situation of each shot you're talking about and the population that may or may not need it.
You know? But here's one thing that I've seen is that anybody that talks about this topic in any way, if they don't say, do every single thing that you're told to do when you're told to do it and make sure you inject every single one of them, if you don't agree with 100% of that, you're anti-vaccine. And that's kind of how they view it, and they kind of want to yell at you. So we will be anti-vaccine today because we're not going to say do every single thing no matter what. We're going to look at some other viewpoints. But one thing that's super important to understand is that when you're looking at, okay, what kind of problems are vaccines causing and do we know if they really are? And everybody admits, even the CDC, all the people that are promoting vaccines admit that there are risks with vaccines just like there are risks with any drug. So they know that, and that seems reasonable even to me, that yeah, there's risks with anything you do, but if there's a benefit, maybe it's worth doing. But the reality is that even the CDC admits on their website that only between 1 and 10% of the injuries, problems, or deaths that come from vaccines are reported at all. Like, they know that the reporting of problems is very low because a lot of people don't know or understand that the vaccine is what caused the problem. Especially with there's like specific vaccines where they've had like 88,000 maybe it was 18,000 or something, but it was thousands of reports of horrible problems that happened from this specific vaccine. And when the government came out to talk about it, they say that every single one of those problems, 18,000, was a coincidence. And that's their answer to that. So when you're looking at those things, you got to say, okay, well, maybe that's not a coincidence. I mean, that's a pretty high coincidence. But in any case, people don't know that vaccines have the ability to cause problems. And that makes sense to us, just like how many people come to us every week that say, you know, I've had chronic diarrhea for 3 years. And we're like, well, do you have your gallbladder? No, I had that taken out 3 years ago. But they have no clue that the lack of bile flow is what's creating that diarrhea. So not understanding that something can be causing a problem is pretty common in about 1,500 million different problems that come up.
Yeah.
So that's one issue, is that a lot of the problems don't get reported enough, so that maybe we're not looking at everything accurately.
Like, yeah, maybe you blame something on hereditary because you don't know, you know, that your vaccine caused it or this or that or where you live or something that you've been doing, because you just don't know how to connect the dots to what went.
I mean, I had that, and as you're talking about, I had like a bunch of vaccines right before I went to India, and that's right when all this crazy, like, amorphous body pain started. And there was other things that were going on at the same time.
Is that when you were getting the clenches?
Yeah. There was other things that was going on at the same time. Like I was getting in through a bunch of like prolotherapy, and I had a lot of emotional stress. There was a lot of things. But it could have been from like the 4 or 5 vaccines that I had just like a couple weeks prior. And maybe I didn't connect the two.
And what I feel is that, just from my own opinion, is I don't feel like vaccines are causing any of these problems. I don't feel like it's the additives in the vaccines that are causing the problems, because you see people that get the vaccines and don't have the problems, and you see the people that do have the problems. But what I think it is that it's a person that is getting the problems is the person who doesn't have the ability to deal with the toxic load that is coming in. Mm-hmm. Like, we know that there's a toxic load coming in with every vaccine, whether it's, you know, the major ones, you know, the mercury, the aluminum, all of those other additives that are used to help preserve or help the vaccine more effective, plus the vaccine itself, plus other viruses that kind of sneak into the vaccine when they're growing it and then they don't even know that are in there. You hear a lot about that. But, you know, the body is made to be resilient. It's kind of programmed to do that. It has a lot of different backup systems. But think about, you know, you may be a person that we've heard from who came to us with all these problems of nausea and just weight gain and feeling lousy and no energy. And when you fix something as simple as bile flow so that the body can remove toxins, all of a sudden your whole life turned around. So if your life can turn around when your body all of a sudden can get rid of a little bit of toxins, it makes sense that another person could have a whole bunch of problems come in if a whole bunch of toxins are introduced at once, and that person doesn't have the ability or the resiliency to have their body remove enough of those toxins and still function properly.
It makes sense. I got all these vaccines as a kid, and I started getting fat.
See, must have been 100% vaccine's fault.
Level, you know, I couldn't resist it.
So I mean, and sometimes, too, I remember seeing in one of the documentaries I watched in prep for this was, what was it called? Calling the Shots?
Yeah, Shot in the Dark, Calling the Shots.
It talked about a specific gene that made this individual susceptible to, like, developing the disease that it was vaccinating for because of his, you know, his genetic code. And whether or not that was actually accurate, it's a possible other factor of why vaccines work for some people and then they cause the disease or a disease in someone else.
Well, can't you still get, you can still get stuff. Like people say, oh, I got a flu shot and I've got the flu.
Well,
you can still get things.
Here's what's, this is a really important thing that most people don't understand. And it says on the CDC website that only that for everybody that's vaccinated, 5 to 15% of the people that are vaccinated are not immune to that at all. Like it just flat out,
doesn't work
for those people. And they measure the effectiveness of the vaccine by, does the dose create antibodies? That's what they call whether the vaccine is effective or not. But just because a person creates antibodies is not even a true definition of immunity or being able to take care of a disease. There's a lot of peer-reviewed published articles that say that that's not a reliable measure of immunity. So we know a lot of different reasons that a person, their immune system will not be functioning correctly. We talk about it in our vitamin D episode. We talk about it a lot about when we talk about vitamin C. You know, there's a lot of things that have to happen in a human being for their immunity to be able to function correctly. And a lot of them that make them not function correctly are nutritional deficiencies. And so we know that nutritional deficiencies are on the rise for a lot of different reasons. We talk about it on episodes all the time. Digestion's not working correctly, then that's going to create nutritional deficiencies because you can't pull the nutrients out of the food. What else could create a nutritional deficiency?
Well, one weird one that a lot of people don't have any idea about is omega-3s can actually suppress your immune response. So there's a Ray Pete has a great article on immunodeficiency, and he talks about if your tissues are saturated with unsaturated or are saturated with unsaturated fats, or if those are in the way, that can cause an immune suppression. Which sometimes people feel better when they start taking omega-3s because they stop having their immune response to some toxin or some allergen or something.
Interesting, yeah.
So they're like, oh, I feel so much clearer and better, but really it's just like, oh, you just paralyze your immune response. So you don't have as much like inflammation and things going on. But that's just like, I don't know, that's like taking something that's – it's like taking a DayQuil or a NyQuil. So you don't feel your cold as right. much, but you still totally have it. You know?
Right. And you know, thinking even when I was growing up with what I was eating, it was not nutritious. I mean, there was not nutrition in there. So even if you're just eating food that doesn't have nutrition in it, you can create nutrition deficiencies. So we have this situation where – vaccinations are on the rise, so that's more of a toxic load for a body to handle. And nutrient density in the food and our ability to pull nutrients out of the food are both decreasing. So when you look at those two factors alone, it starts to make sense why some kids are having either problems or death. Where other kids are fine, because you look at it like, oh, well, I got the vaccine. I was fine. So there must not be anything to worry about. That must have been a coincidence that somebody else was dealing with the problem. Now shut up and shoot it up. So you can see where the confusion comes from. But when you're, you know, when you look at the numbers, only this percentage of people have a problem. That's probably not so bad. But when you think about it like, okay, this is your kid. And now he has an opportunity to have a problem by you making this choice. What is your choice going to be? And that's when adoption. I think it's important. What is it?
Adoption,
yeah.
You adopt him out and you say, somebody else deal with
it. Farm it out.
Deal with this ADD child.
Guinness Book on Parenting. Yeah. Farm it out.
Yeah.
I'm gonna write that one as well as vaccines made me fat.
Uh-huh. But that's brilliant. One of the biggest things that scares people into getting all of the vaccinations is they hear about an outbreak that came from these dirty, unvaccinated kids. And the reality is that when you look at kindergartners, there was only like 1.8% that were exempt and that did not get vaccinated. But when you look at the fact that 5 to 15% of the vaccinated kids are not immune at all, this is the reason that the CDC says that the reality is that most outbreaks start in vaccinated kids, not the unvaccinated kids.
Wow. And they used to have like chickenpox parties. Like they would have like somebody had chickenpox, so they invite all of them to have slumber parties with each other, so they all get it at the same time.
Right, so you get it out of the way, and I think that's jazzy. You know, why not?
Yeah,
it's a good time for the kids.
I actually was just working with a client in Berkeley who had just done that. She's a very holistically minded chiropractor and did that with her kids. But I think we need to also make distinction between things like flu shots, where like the flu is like morphine every year, so they always have to like just try to do their best to create vaccines for that the most prominent strains, and they try to do that, versus something like smallpox, where it was like that totally worked, like that saved thousands of it stopped epidemics, and we don't have that issue anymore because of vaccinations. And that was a very specific strain that they targeted and figured out way back when, like thousands of years ago, using like cow pus.
Oh, wait, like when they did it like with shots or anything.
Right, they did it with actual cow pus, you know, but it worked. It's like it totally cured or prevented people from getting smallpox, and they were dying
from it. Did you have to drink it?
No, they would scratch
cut your arm
skin.
And then like wipe it in there.
Yeah, and they like way back before they even had I don't know if they even had microscopes at that point yet, but they had figured out oh this worked. Like the shamans of India had figured out a way to stop people from getting smallpox. So some of these I think are totally legitimate, amazing things that have stopped epidemics. And then other things are much trickier, like with the flu viruses, it's always morphine and you know, so they have to keep trying to like
I keep thinking you're saying morphine.
No.
Like a morphine drip.
No, that's
morphine.
Changing.
Morphine.
That's
changing.
Your mind. That's, that's down on Kinnis Street.
So this is probably my biggest change of opinion is what you just said. Because I've always gone with the thought of, okay, I don't think that the actual vaccinations are bad because look at what happened. Look at all the horrible diseases that we had that are gone now. So the vaccines must not be bad. Maybe it's just the additives, the things that they're using to make them cheaper to produce and so that they can preserve longer and make it easier to distribute. So my view has always been that that was the problem. But as I dug deeper into this, I see that, hey, I might have been really wrong about some stuff. And I think that this is the viewpoint that most people have, and it might be flat out wrong. Because when you look at history and you look at the levels of deaths in children by all of these diseases, you can look at the chart in the early 1900s up through, you know, like 1990 and see where the numbers went. And let's see if I can find the exact part here. But the mortality rate, this is just in the U.S. from 1990 to 1998. So most of the death rates came way down to almost nothing in like 1940. So they were almost taken care of then. And the diphtheria and whooping cough vaccines were licensed and distributed in 1949. The measles vaccine was introduced in 1963. So they keep taking credit for something that we had already figured out how to stop because we had modernized medicine. We modernized where people were not having starving and all these nutritional deficiencies and all these problems. And a lot of these major illnesses were all but gone. And then the vaccines came in, and some of the vaccines even caused more problems, it appears, like a rise in those things. So that's one thing that's really huge. Another thing that happened is they kind of tweaked the numbers so that the stats kind of looked better. Like polio, they recategorized what polio was. Like there was a, to be diagnosed with polio, you had to have these specific symptoms for 12 hours. Or if you had them for 30 days, it was a more severe form of the polio. So then when the vaccines came out, they changed it to where that same issue with the 12 hours of the symptoms, they changed the name to some kind of meningitis. So then the polio was only tagged with the people who had it for 30 days or longer. So then they show, well, look, the vaccine came out and polio rates really went down. But this meningitis thing went way up because they reclassified it to something else. So when we look at stuff like that, we got to say, okay, maybe it's not as simple as look at what cured these amazing problems, so we might as well keep doing it. We might have to look a little further and say, okay, is this really what's going on, or what even what was going on?
Yeah, I'd heard that too years ago about polio being reclassified. And I do think that that happened, just like people with cholesterol, like right. How they reclassified what it means to have high cholesterol by making it lower, and then the drugs were more validated. I do think that there are examples, though, of it working, like with
smallpox. I think so, too.
Like with
yeah.
smallpox, like, that worked. Like, people don't die from that anymore when they get back. Sometimes it would kill someone, but most of the time it totally saved.
And a lot of people were dying, too.
Yeah, so it was huge.
When you, and yeah. I think that that's always what you have to do is you got to look at the risk benefit from it. And in that time when we didn't have other ways to deal with those issues, it was the way to deal with it. So you either use it or Uncle Phil is dead and you don't have any relatives left.
Yeah.
So I think that that is an appropriate thing to do. And how do you argue with what it did.
Yeah, no, I mean, but I do think you're right. There's a lot of like shifting around classifications that makes this thing more like the topic of vaccines nuanced. So like you got like it's tricky to figure out, and there's a lot of nuances and case by case things with the different diseases that you're dealing with and the different risk factors that people face. Like if you aren't going to certain regions of the world, you don't, it's bad. Like it's an unnecessary risk to get vaccinated for like malaria if you live in Tennessee. Like you don't need to do that. Like, because they know there's risks and toxins that can, you know, and psychiatric problems that can develop from like malaria resistance. But so you don't need it if you're not exposed to it. And I think that's also really, really helped in clearing out diseases. Maybe it was originally through vaccines. Like now you don't need to vaccinate against it because it's not anywhere around you. And maybe if you were to go to some high risk area, then you might consider the shot, which is kind of like what the practice seemed like it had been in a lot of states when I was younger. Now, like, litigation's changing. Like, oh, no, everybody needs to get... I've never had a flu shot. Like, I don't want to get one. Yeah. So I think it's kind of unnecessary in a lot of the new policies that they're, like, forcing on people.
Well, I think that the point that they make is they talk about the herd immunity. Mm-hmm. And what that means is that, you know, there are people that can't get vaccines for medical reasons. You know, maybe their immune system is very... not great anymore, you know, already. There's a lot of issues that allow a person to not be able to do that. So they say, well, if as long as everybody else does it, now we're reducing the number of people that can catch that disease and spread that disease. So it's almost like, you know, be a part of society, help us out and make sure that you're not getting it. So that's kind of what they're saying is the reason that they want everyone to do it. But, you know, one thing that we look at, especially with the flu shot, is that the effectiveness of the flu shot is not great. It's not a high number. So just because it's being marketed as this amazing thing doesn't mean that it is. So you really got to look at what is the risk benefit of... Let's go to our first question, because she kind of talked about this a little bit.
Yeah, we haven't even done a question. Wow. Joanne from Los Angeles, California. My question is, why are there so many vaccines on the schedule now? Are there any that might be better to skip? We were just talking about that.
Yeah. So,
malaria.
You know, and look at, I think that each person needs to figure this out for themselves. But when you look at some of the things that are on the schedule and some of the symptoms that come from the problems they're vaccinating for are like a week worth of diarrhea, you know? Now, diarrhea kills people all over the world more than most things, really, because of all the nutritional deficiencies that come along with that. But having it for a week is not going to be this horrible thing like you may be viewing it. So a kid has diarrhea for a few days. Is that really worth the risk of all of these other toxins going into the system when... Think about the toxins in the world right now. They're everywhere. We talk a lot of different shows about how you can't avoid all of them. So maybe before, when vaccines weren't so problematic, especially when we weren't doing as many of them, it's doubled or tripled by now, then that toxic load was a lot smaller. But now we also have all the pollutants, all the plastics that get into our system, all these different things that our body has to battle off, and we're adding this to that too. So that's where I just think you just need to be a little more selective with what you're looking at, and not just like sign me up for all everything you got. Load them up.
It's tough though, and in Joanne's in Los Angeles, like you're losing your ability to choose in California.
Yep.
Even if you homeschool, which is used to be like the way out for parents that were really conservative with their kids' health.
They're talking about causing that a problem,
yeah,
too,
right? Your kid just running around out there unvaccinated. Like, well, so it, you know, if it is a really big issue to you and you're definitely against it, by law, you might have to leave the state if you're in California and you don't want your kids to do that.
Yeah, so that's, it's tricky.
Death by diarrhea, on a death certificate.
Yeah, it's common. Not here in the United States, but in other places.
Okay. Robert, Newberry, Florida. Did vaccines come from a real threat and were they justified at the time? If so, where and when did vaccines go so wrong? I had so many shots in the Air Force. Who knows what they did to me? My records don't even show what they were.
Yeah, that's kind of scary. Like,
those were experimental.
Yeah.
And a lot of them were. You hear about people saying, you know,
they got
even
microchipped.
Back in the Vietnam War stuff, that they're experimenting with things just to see what they did, and who knows what was really going on. I don't see how we would ever know about that.
Sure, it's in some file somewhere deep underground.
Mm-hmm. Right. But
all the UFOs go.
You know, we did talk a little bit about this, that obviously they were effective at some point, especially some of them, but it seems like where they've gone wrong is that you do see people who are looking at the fact that the number of deaths from some of these diseases is very small, and they were very small even before the vaccines came out, but the number of deaths that are coming from the vaccines are now going higher. So I think that's a serious thing that has to be looked at, but it's hard to really get a good grasp on that if not everybody understands that that's what caused the death, especially in infants.
Right.
You know, SIDS is a, I think we talk about that later in the somebody else's question, but that's kind of a name that says the baby died. We don't know why. So they're not being reported as a vaccination problem. And was it a vaccination problem? Who knows? How would we ever know that? But when the reports are coming in from people dying, and it just seems apparent that it is from the vaccine, and those numbers are higher than the number of people who are dying from the actual disease, then I think it's time that needs to be balanced out a little bit.
I just keep thinking of Fight Club. Remember that, where he talks about the car insurance companies, whether or not they do a callback?
No.
And they're just like, so they're like overlooking this car crash that has like burnt dead people in it, and he's telling you how car companies will, in deciding whether or not to do a recall, like if they know there's a problem with the car, they just weigh like how much out of court settlements will cost, like to all the families of the dead people, versus how much it would cost to do a callback. And if it's more expensive to do the callback, then they won't do it.
They'll just do it.
I think that's actually true.
That's so dirty.
Yeah, so they'll just leave the cars out there and people die, and they'll pay them off.
Again, that was not a fact that we found. That was from Fight Club.
Yeah, it was Fight Club. That's my reference. That's not scholarly article, but it might be true.
Yeah.
Right. Did we cover all of Robert's questions? So it seems like that's where some things have gone wrong. But I think we cover some more of that stuff in Adam's next question, too.
Adam from Parrish, Florida. First off, thank you for tackling a topic that is so controversial right now.
We're controversial.
Just ask Jim Carrey. There are so many questions to ask about vaccines. Let's just start with the obvious one. Is there any link to vaccines in autism or other neurocognitive disorders? Do they even work anymore? If they do, how do they work? If they do work and there is purpose for them, why do we need to fill them with known toxins and heavy metals? Does that aid in the vaccines working? Would you vaccinate yourself? A lot of good questions there, Adam.
Yeah, Adam always has good questions.
New show on just on these questions.
Yeah, and you know, one thing is that some of the aluminum, the mercury, it kind of helps that stay around longer. And I have heard people say that the vaccination would not work long term without those in some cases for some of them. Now, they have reduced and taken them out of a lot of them. It seems like the mercury is still in flu shots, though. Unless some of them are starting to take it out, but last I heard they were not on those specific ones. But there are some people that are saying, you know, there's this guy, Dr. Paul Offit, who he seems like he's like the spokesperson for the pro-vaccine side. And why wouldn't he be? Because it's my understanding that he was one of the founders of one of the vaccines. And if you're getting paid every time somebody vaccinates, then aren't you going to talk highly about it? But he wrote that aluminum is actually a healthy nutrient for babies.
That's interesting.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
So it's just crush up some foil and just
Just take some tin foil, put in the bottle. And the reason that this gets confusing because if you consume aluminum, the body will excrete it. But when you inject it, it's a totally different situation.
It's kind of like a pot brownie versus smoking.
Oh, really?
Really different.
Okay.
And we know this because we've done the research.
All sorts of stories.
Yeah, so there was a guy, Professor Chris Shaw, a PhD. He's a neuroscientist, and he did a study on aluminum where he did it with rats, and he had an understanding without the aluminum that the vaccine doesn't give that long-term protection. But he tried to follow the amount of aluminum that was in the schedule for the vaccinations in that size of amount for rats. And they saw major changes in not only how they acted, but then after the rats died, they dissected them and saw all of this massive damage to motor neurons, similar to what you see in issues like Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. One of the big things about when we look at autism with vaccinations is that they've had all these studies that show that it doesn't cause autism. So they're like, okay, this is a fact now. And one issue is that some of the studies, it appears that they did vaccinations and placebos. But the placebos just had the vaccination removed. They still had all of the...
Oh, those dirty little cheaters.
All of those, all the aluminum, all the preservatives, all the other chemicals and junk in there. But they took the vaccine out, so they called it a placebo. And then they say, well, see, both the same amount of kids had a reaction with a vaccine and without a vaccine. So it's obviously not the vaccines causing the problem.
Wow.
So that's tricky. But the other thing is that, especially with autism, and this is just my opinion, is that I really feel that it's a matter of what kind of minerals, resources, resiliency does each kid have? Because a lot of kids can take plenty of those toxins, metals, all those things, and be fine. And maybe they're just fine until they're 60. We don't really know.
Yeah, you know, until everything shuts down because they can't keep like getting rid of it.
Right.
It's overworked.
And over decades, it causes all these problems because we know all of these issues, neurocognitive issues, are on the rise. So something has to be making that happen. And, but this is just a theory that I've heard from a lot of people, is that when the body doesn't have enough of these minerals and all these nutrients that are needed for signals to travel and for everything to function correctly, that the body will hold on to heavy metals more. But when there are enough minerals and everything else in the body, then the body starts to let go of those a little bit. Because we've talked that we kind of felt like there was no exit strategy for heavy metals, but it appears now that they're seeing that there is. And when they do some studies with like hair analysis type stuff, when they look at heavy metal loads of autistic kids and non-autistic kids, that when the heavy metals are high, that they can see heavy metals escaping through the hair from kids that are not autistic, but from the autistic kids, it doesn't seem to escape. So it seems that their body's holding on to those things a little bit harder. So, you know, maybe the argument that vaccines are not causing autism is solid. Maybe it's really not the vaccines that's causing it, quote unquote. It's just the kids' inability for the body to remove some of those things that could be causing problems. And they also look at the fact that, well, some kids that weren't vaccinated at all still have autism. But we know that there's a lot of other issues in the environment that can restrict the ability for signals to travel, that can cause heavy metal toxicity. There's a lot more than just vaccines. It's all over the place. So there's a lot of things to look at when you look at autism. Do you have words to say about that?
Yeah. I mean, I remember in that same documentary, they had his parents had a child who was vaccinated, and then he started getting all of these seizures, like almost constant, like for a couple of weeks right after the vaccination. And then through some genetic testing, they found that he had this particular type of epilepsy that was, it was triggered by like aggravating like toxins.
A stress.
Yeah, and it, the vaccine was a stress. As we know, there are stresses on the immune system. That's what triggers the antibody response. But other things could do it too, like weird pesticides or even emotional stress or starvation. Like all these things could trigger epilepsy. And that was his first epileptic episode where he started having all these seizures. But then later they found other things that would trigger it too. So whether it was the vaccine that pushed him over the edge or it was just the first like intense aggravator that it was exposed to, you know, it would be unfair to blame the vaccine necessarily for causing it. For sure, in that case, or being the entire problem, but it is obviously like, you know, a toxic influence. Just like you wouldn't necessarily want to be around a, you know, a waste dump. You know, it's right. You know, we know it's bad, and if we can minimize our exposure to those things or our need for exposure to those things, it'd probably be a healthier thing.
Right. Like there are toxins and poisons in our society that a human could lick it. And they would live. You know, they might not feel great, but it would be fine. It might cause a little bit of problems. But you wouldn't take that same poison to a baby who was not healthy and say, lick this.
Yeah.
That would be a problem.
Right. And it's just, you know, and then I guess it comes down to further things like, maybe this will get easier too. It's like if there's genetic screening that they can do for kids before they get vaccinated. Like that's a kind of thing to do. Like before you go into surgery, they look at your blood. Like, are you able to like go under anesthesia right now? And hopefully as they develop technology and better understanding of genes and how vaccines interact with them, they'll be able to pre-screen kids to understand like, is this a really high risk vaccination for you or not? Like, I think we'll develop that eventually.
Right, but back to Adam's question, you know, one thing interesting about all the neurocognitive issues and autism is there was this guy in one of the documentaries I watched, John Green, and he's been practicing since 1975, and he's like, in 1980, I saw a patient with autism, and in early 1990, I saw another one who had autism. And then I just got this flood. And since then, I've seen 2,100 patients with autism.
Wow.
So, you know, something is going on. And that doesn't mean that we know what it is. But it sure seems like when they're looking at the heavy metal issues and they're seeing it almost consistently, that we at least need to pay attention to that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's important. And, you know, if you're looking at it for your kids, then... You know, one thing that I would say is, are there any signs that would give you indication that your kid may not have enough resources to deal with these issues? Like, after the birth, did the mother go into postpartum depression or have all of these other low resource issues? And if that was the case, then you kind of got to view it as, if the mother is totally stripped now, then maybe the kid was not getting every single thing that it needed. Maybe the resources are a little bit low. And this is certainly not a fact, but when you're looking at, okay, we have seen kids who have been absolutely destroyed by this. Do I want to destroy my kid or not? You know, I don't know how to even view it. It's kind of freaky.
Well, if you'd like to learn how to become a health coach or even just dig into more advanced teachings for yourself or your family, go to healthprocourse.com to learn about Tony and Will's course for coaches. Registration for this course only opens to the public for about a week at a time, so be sure to register for the coach newsletter so you'll be notified when the next registration opens. You'll find more info at healthprocourse.com.
And, you know, one thing Adam said was like, would I vaccinate myself? So let's put myself in a position where, okay, pretend that I'm a baby born today, and I get to decide for myself, do I want to vaccinate? I'm going to be, no, I'm good. Thanks. But if it's my kid, then that's a little different. Now there's a little higher stake kind of thing. And I don't know. I mean,
you don't
want
to take any chances, but then you have to think, well, chances on the other side. And
yeah,
then,
like, know, where are the better chances?
And then if it
chances?
Is a law, what are you going to do? Are they going to come to your door and take you to jail because you didn't back? I mean, what do they do?
I think that, you know, we'll get into more in part two, episode two of, you know, what are some options and what can you do type of things. But, if I were to choose to do any of the vaccinations, I would certainly want to spread it out further, delay them as long as I could to allow the kid to get some resiliency and to build him up nutritionally.
Pump
to do
full of bone broth.
Right,
and stuff
yeah.
Like
you're getting vaccinated today? Okay, 4 cups of bone broth today. Yeah. You know, do any of the things that make sense. But as far as do I know yet, I don't know. It's just freaky.
Your baby's going to drink bone broth instead of like food for the first year.
Yeah.
You'll be sending bone broth to school with it. It'll be all gelatinous and stuff. He'll be like, where can I heat this up, but not a microwave?
Chris Kresser is a, we know Chris Kresser. He's a good guy. And he has a pregnancy and early childhood course. And he talks about using bone broth with kids all the time after they're done
breastfeeding,
after they're starting to move past breastfeeding only, that bone broth is a great thing to introduce initially.
All right. Zachary from Huntington, West Virginia. It's all a conspiracy. They pump us with these harmless, in quotes, vaccines. The next thing you know, we're all on welfare, collecting food stamps and so dependent on government cheese that we're just happy to be ruled over such a magical being.
Well, so, I don't think that we're that far on that side, on Zachary's side. But you gotta kind of wonder when you watch the flow of money and the billions of dollars. I mean, they look at the companies making $21 billion a year just from vaccines. Think that if we just had $1 billion, we could pretty much make anything happen that we wanted to happen. And that's kind of what they're doing.
Wow.
Yeah, I wouldn't go this far, but
no.
I would definitely be... We're like, one of my favorite movies is Zeitgeist, and when you watch that, you just get like, oh my god, Zeitgeist! It just like unearths everything about like the founding of the monetary system and like the brainwashing of religious systems and the way medical systems work. It's scary, but I definitely understand Zachary's sort of like.
I don't view it as like there's these people looking down, like laughing and pointing at us type of thing. But I do believe that the misinformation creates bad choices and bad policies, and then we have to kind of swim through it.
Yeah.
But this does sound like a good movie that I would watch.
Yeah.
But I write that script.
A lot of my best friends are physicians, and I know they're really awesome people and they're very smart. And they make a lot of good choices.
And they help people.
They save lives. So
yeah.
I'm not fully one way or the other on this, you know.
I think it's more like we were talking, the pharmaceutical, and it's like some of them are not evil, I'm sure. You know, it's the people at the top that are making the money that don't really, you know. And they're probably not all evil, maybe. But
okay, let's go to the next question, because this is probably the whole thing.
All right. Donna from Sayreville, New Jersey. Sean Croxton just interviewed Steve Silberman on his book, Neurotribes, which goes into how autism has always been around and how we are seeing more of it due to flawed or over-reporting. I'm not sure I agree with that. I more agree with Dr. Mercola's interview with Dr. Stephanie Seneff, I hope I'm saying this name's right, about her hypothesis regarding aluminum adjuvanted vaccines. I don't think there will ever be an answer due to the number of lawsuits that would result from the government's recommendation and mandates to pump us with questionable vaccines.
So think about this, and this is what kind of happened, is that vaccine manufacturers kept getting sued from people that were being harmed by the vaccines, and they were paying out all this money. And they said, well, this is not profitable because we're paying out more money than we're making for the vaccines, so we're going to stop making vaccines. So then Congress stepped in and said, oh, we don't want you to do that. So what we're going to do is we're going to make it a rule where nobody can sue the manufacturers for damage from vaccines. So now when you buy a vaccine, it's taxed, and that tax goes into a pot, and that pot is then used to pay people that are harmed from vaccines. And they've paid out, It's like $3 or $4 billion over the last so many years. So if you're paying out that many, you know that harm is coming from these situations. But here's the huge problem, is that there's no motivation for the manufacturers of the vaccines to get it right, to make sure that nobody is going to be injured, to do the studies that would really show, okay, what's it doing? How many people are really benefiting? How many people are really harming? Is that the best interest to us, or do we need to adjust something? There's no motivation for that at all, because the way the laws are set up, that the money just comes in. There is no, I got to do this right,
or we'll get sued our pants off.
Yeah, there's no penalty.
Yeah, that's part of the, because it's tough. You understand, like, okay, yeah, we do want our country to be free of epidemics and things like that. So you get why the government might try to protect the people and create this extra surplus fund to keep them going. But that's kind of the problem with privatized healthcare. Like, you know, if it's based around profit and that's how we run our system, you're going to have corrupt motives. Like, it's built into the structure.
Right, and the pharmaceutical industry has spent more money lobbying than any other industry, even oil and things like that. Mm-hmm. They spend more than anybody. And I think that that's the problem. I think that, think about that, we are never going to get these answers, because if you look at all of the people who have either died or been harmed or injured, if it were to come out that, oh yeah, we did that, so we're not going to do that anymore, that's an unlimited number of lawsuits. Like, the only people that would have money anymore would be just the people who had kids injured by vaccines. And like, so that's never going to happen. But until they figure out a way to make somebody accountable for what they're manufacturing, then this system will be broken. I don't see how it could be fixed.
Yeah, or like this whole revamp. Like, in that movie, Zeitgeist, they talk about what would really be necessary is to step out of a monetary economy and be a resource-based one where there's
I'm trading you a chicken for moccasins?
Not even that. It's like, it's basically, it seems like it's a socialist environment. But if you were, it's kind of like a lot of people, maybe, I don't know, it depends what part of the country you're in, but a lot of people in California are like, yeah, if we get money out of politics, that's a good thing, you know, because then people can make better choices and they're not swayed by these corporations. But then to say the same thing of healthcare, if we can get money out of healthcare, then people can make like better choices and, you know, we can just have resources supporting the health of the population. That's nice, right? But it's like so mind-blowing to say like money out of healthcare, like no way, like there's so much money in it and in politics that it seems like an insurmountable change that's actually necessary.
And you also lose a lot of incentive too if you like take the money out of medical and stuff too, like just even with doctors, think of all the money it takes them to go through school. Is it going to be worth it? Hours and
well, that's the problem. Like,
gotta make money.
That's the problem with schools being expensive. Yeah. And then when you look at, you know, like
in Europe, in Denmark, free education and stuff like that.
It's like, oh, they have actually, Denmark's very rich and healthy, and they don't like pay for healthcare. Yeah. And it's like, it's more social. So I think in America we have this like, we're so entrenched in what we've been used to that if we were to just take a flight over to Europe and like talk to some people, like it could be totally different and awesome. I don't know if we want to get into politics, but it's a part of this whole
thing. In the next part two, we're going to get into some of that stuff. We're going to have to wrap
and
this up here.
And we have Bernie Sanders coming in.
Right.
But we're going to look at the comparison of our country to some other countries, and we have some other really good questions that have come up. But
I will say just one last thing. Like, Jo's from the Netherlands, and it's socialized over there, everything. And his biggest thing when he got here, he was like, wow, what are all these drug commercials? Like, every time there was a commercial, there was at least one drug commercial in there. Sometimes more than that in every single commercial break. And I had become so desensitized, I didn't, you know. Yeah. And we also Roku and stuff. But it's just like, you know, it's like, it's so weird to him because it's not
they
a big business
places,
over there.
Yeah.
It's like they just go to the doctor and everybody pitches in. And if you're poor, you still get to go. And people don't die, you know, from stupid stuff over there not having enough money, you know.
Yeah. Right. And I can remember when they legalized the allowing pharmaceutical companies to start doing marketing on TV and stuff. And it was, for a long time, they just wasn't allowed. And, man, to get back to that would be something.
Yeah, that and food. If they could take away all that, the food, the fast food, things like McDonald's and all those, and we would probably be a lot healthier.
Okay, so we'll dig into more of that next week for part two. Don't forget that if you won, to go to kickitnaturally.com and click on Contact Us and send us an email so we can send you some fabulous prizes. And thank you so much for everybody who left us a review at iTunes. That really helps us out a lot.
Yeah, and if you didn't win, but you want to win something, today all of our listeners can get a free audiobook from audible.com. Just go to kickitinthenuts.com/audiobook for the details. All right.
Episode 100 in the book.
Episode 100, done. If you want to learn more about how to look at your own chemistry, you can read any of Tony's books or take the almost free 4-week digestion course at kickitnaturally.com. Or you can head on over to Will Schmidt's mybodyofknowledge.net page. He's got a lot of great info on there, blogs, exercises, stuff like that.
All right. But part two next week, too.
Congratulations to the winners.
See you then.
Bye. Oh,